We start off the day with a story about healing hands. This past weekend, we paid a visit to what the military says was a de facto dog beach at Joint Base Pearl Harbor-Hickam. But it was right up against a coastal marsh, home to endangered native Hawaiian birds. Canines and fowl don't mix. Talks between the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Navy ended the practice of allowing dogs to roam in the area. And then came the work of restoring the natural habitat in this area known as Ohua Reef Wetlands. We were there walking the shoreline in the marsh to see the progress and to see how community volunteers and cadets with the Youth Challenge Academy were digging in. The event was part of National Public Lands Day. This stretch of beach at Fort Kamehameha is just a stone's throw from the airport's reef runway, so it's a strange mix of gentle waves lapping, airplane noise, and bird calls off in the distance. Here's Colonel Doug Pierce explaining the situation.
It's known as Dog Beach. People would take their pets out there, but obviously not good for the environment, not good for our stilts.
The Hawaiian stilt, or ayo, is one of a number of native birds that call this area home. Dozens of volunteers have come out to help heal the land, clearing out invasive species and planting native shrubs and trees. Kehaulani Lam of the Native Hawaiian Civic Clubs is grateful the military has been welcoming to this community, reaffirming their cultural connection to the Aina, which were once part of Crown Lands.
We're so blessed today because we have cadets who would like to offer oli to Ahua, to this sacred space.
Following cultural protocols, it's then time to pick up the shovels and wheelbarrows and get to work planting and clearing. Craig Gorsuch is a biologist with Native Facilities Hawaii.
I love this habitat right here. And then you can just open it. And just like that. That's all there is to it. And they get 10 to 12 inches apart, and they love to have their feet wet, so this edge here between the mud and the gravel is perfect. It's right above. The other plants are going to plant higher up. And there are all these trays here, so. And when other people finish with propagules snapping, they can join you.
You know, I feel very connected to this land, this wetland area. And Ahua Reef is a wetland area that's gone through a lot of an invasive flora assault, I could say, where red mangrove and pickleweed batis, genus batis, have come in and they've taken over. And it's interesting to see what the consequence of that is. When you came out here before, when you go back in the areas that are overgrown with red mangrove, it's very quiet, it's very sterile. You don't hear bird life, you don't see native water birds, you might see an occasional pig, but there's not much life in the land, which is ironic because the mangrove is so productive in other parts of the world, in the Philippines, in Florida, and Central America, but not here in Hawaii. It did not arrive on its own. And
so they're invaders.
They literally are invaders. And we're trying to, turn the tide in a way to help the native plants and in process encourage native water birds to come back, including endangered water birds. And that is happening. We have the IO, the Hawaiian stilt, has come back here and it's foraging and it's roosting. We're hoping it will breed.
So it's really kind of restoring the Aina is what you're doing.
Very much restoring. Malama the Aina. And I can share with you why I feel that's important. When you talk to botanists, they have an idea of what plants arrived on their own. For plant seeds to get here, it's a long, arduous journey that has to travel 2,000 miles across an ocean surface. And that's only going to happen by wing or by wind or by water. So spores that are small enough can float in the air. Or seeds could stick to feathers of coloa that are traveling here, or colea. And seeds can float as long as the embryo of the seed can survive the salt water. They can float here. But that happens slowly. And geologists feel that the islands from the very beginning, the first hotspot island that formed, could go back 70 million years, maybe 27 to 70 million years from the people I talked to, geologists. And botanists feel there have been like 275 flowering plants that arrived on their own across that time. So that boils down to like one flowering plant every 100,000 years arrived on its own in Hawaii. And when it arrived here, very stable conditions with temperature and wind and water. So they grew and they adapted and they thrived. With the introduction of alien plants, like to call alien plants, the Polynesians brought canoe plants that are wonderful. Others, Europeans and Americans, brought flowering plants. Part of the struggle is that a lot of those plants grew up in an area where they competed already with a larger ecosystem. So they developed skills to grow fast, to outcompete, to suck up the most nutrients. And because of that, they sometimes can outcompete native plants and take over. What's amazing is when fresh lava flows, like we've just experienced on the Big Island, the first colonizer plants are native Hawaiian plants because they can survive with the limited micronutrients in the lava.
So what do we have here at Ahua Reef in this marshland?
We've removed the invasive red mangrove and pickleweed. We're also have a lot of kiawe that we're controlling as well. What we're bringing in are plants like these orange-flowered ko trees, and we've been able to broadcast seeds, and they grow quite well. Another plant that loves to have its feet wet is called ai, which is bacopa, or water hyssop. And it tolerates salt, and it's a great ground cover for native water birds to forage in and even eat parts of the plant itself.
These are good healers.
They're good healers, and so many of these plants have medicinal or cultural significance from that standpoint. Another plant we're bringing in is called a coolie coolie, which grows a little higher up. It's kind of like a succulent, and it's also edible. I'm not recommending people to eat it unless they know it's clean. But it has like a cucumber crisp leaf that's a little salty, and it is great in salads. So that's another plant that we're introducing here. Another plant is nehei, which is a ground cover that gets a yellow flower. Another plant is some native grasses the names are just slipping me on my mind right now.
Okay.
I just need a little help. Oh my gosh, a beautiful vine that gets a white flower. It's like a morning glory with a yellow center called hunakai, and it grows on beach. And these plants really thrive in harsh conditions of dry, drought, salt, and sun. So they do quite well out here. I mentioned nehei that we're planting out here. Another grass, it's like a button grass, that's called Mau'u'u'akiaki, thrives out here. We're going to be planting that one out here today. So another grass we planted here is called makaloa, that likes to have its feet wet. So these are all wonderful ground covers. And when we plant flora out here, we like to have open spaces of low ground covers with interspersed taller vegetation that provides cover for native birds and then trees. So this area is transforming into that kind of ecosystem.
So it's pretty exciting then to see the progress.
Oh my gosh, it's tremendously exciting when you see the before and after pictures. I mean, standing here right now, it's all open with a lot of ground covers, and it was not like that 5 years ago.
And so tell us when you started to see, like, the birds maybe coming back.
It came right away, which is remarkable. When we removed the red mangrove and exposed mudflats, the mudflats have the crabs and the invertebrates and the fish that these water birds feed on. so they come right in. It's like a picnic. And we're also trapping predators out here, like mongoose and rats and cats. I'd say at this point, that's the biggest pressure on the water birds are mongoose. They're very efficient protein scavengers. So it's hot. The nesting water birds and mongoose are not compatible. So the water birds are here, like the Hawaiian stilt. We're encouraging them to nest. And hopefully, as we continue controlling predators, they will nest successfully. But
and then we'll hopefully we'll see little baby chicks.
so much I hope so, and see the birds here. One of the benefits of having this wetland here, it's located away from the airfield. So these birds are in a safer area away from the airfield, and that's part of the intention.
And hopefully they'll rebound quickly.
Yes, very much so. Yeah, and you can, right now I don't hear the birds, but when we come here in the morning we hear the IOs calling with their stilt call. It's quite beautiful.
Slowly but surely, the native plants are taking hold, and the coastal marsh area known as Ahua Reef is rebounding. It is Dog Beach no more. I'm Catherine Cruz on HPR1.